Colossians, and let's go ahead and begin at verse 7. Of course, when Paul was writing this book, this is a prison epistle, he's in jail. He's in jail, and eventually, if you look over verse 18 of chapter 4, it says, "Remember my bonds." He's in chains. So he's writing from a Roman prison that eventually, according to what most people think, eventually he's going to be beheaded in Rome. That's exactly what's going to happen. But while he does, I want you to keep in mind where he's at. He's in a prison in Rome. He's going to be on trial, and eventually he's going to be beheaded. But what I want you to see, he couldn't do what he could before. He couldn't run around Eddie to all these different, he'd go to all these different towns and he would preach and be active and go to another town and he would preach and be active that way. Now he's in what? Prison. So he changed the way he served. He continued to seek to witness. He witnessed the people in prison. He witnessed to the governors that he stood before. But he continued to serve. I don't think God retires you when you're born again. I hope I can preach all my days like I've told you a bunch of times. But if I get to where I can't preach, I'll pray. I'll serve the Lord by praying. But I'm going to serve Him by God's grace until I die or until He comes. All God's people said. Don't ever want to quit. You don't want to ever quit. You don't want to ever give in. You got to keep serving the Lord all your days. And that's what Paul did. He couldn't get out and run around all over the place like he did before, but he continued serving Jesus, didn't he? He wrote epistles while he was there. He encouraged people. He wrote to the churches. Think of all of these things that he did. But Paul never quit. You got to remember, like I told you this morning, Paul, of course, the Holy Spirit's the author, but Paul was the one that wrote Romans 8:28. "For we know that all things work together for the good to them that loves God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." He wrote it. We read it. He wrote it. Think about it. So he always practiced that. So when you get to where you can't do maybe like what you used to do, you can still do things. You can always pray. And prayer isn't a small thing. It's a big thing. Great things can get accomplished just through the means of prayer. When you really get diligent and pray and ask the Lord about things and to bless things, it happens. It happens, I believe. Okay? All right, now let's go ahead, verse 7. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you." This was another preacher, I believe, and he sent this man to let the church know how that he was doing. Of course, he was a missionary, wasn't he? And he would want the church. It seems he really loved the Church of Colossae. See, he really loved it. He never started this church, if you'll remember, but it was Jesus' church, and he still loved it. He wanted it to prosper and grow. So he said that this man would declare unto him all his state or the condition that he was in, how he was doing there in Rome. I couldn't imagine being in a Roman prison. I just couldn't imagine that. And usually they were dark. And I mean, it wasn't like prisons like we have. It was a different world. You're in a dungeon, like you're usually had a chain on you. And he mentions he had a chain on him. So, but he still served. The word of God wasn't bound, he said. The word of God isn't bound. He just kept right on serving the Lord. So he should be the type of person that is inspirational to God's people today, right? All right, so he says this man is he calls him a beloved brother. That means Paul loved this man. He called him what kind of brother? A beloved brother. And you know what? When you're born again, all your brothers should be beloved brothers. And your sisters the same way. God's people should love one another. And one of the things that I've read before or heard before, I can't remember if I read it, I might have read it and heard it. It's one of the things that the enemies of the Christians back 2,000 years ago said was those people sure do love one another. And that's what churches need today. Love should be a dominant thing in the Lord's churches. We ought to love one another. Now, you know, the book of 1 John says that's a characteristic of someone that's born again, is that you love your brothers and sisters. And we should do that. We must do that. It's a command, not an option. It's a what? It's a command, not an option. I have to love you. Sometimes God's people's not so lovable, but you got to love them anyhow. And the Lord will bless you for it. All God's people say it. The Lord will bless you for it. You love them anyhow. And sometimes you're not too lovable either. But you love people anyhow. That's one of the most attractive traits, I think, in a church, is when the people love one another. It's very attractive to the people of the world, too. Lost people can see it in people. People come to one another's aid in times of need. That's what should be. It's the way it should be. So, it says he was a beloved brother, and he's a faithful minister. That means he's a preacher. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant of Jesus Christ. A fellow servant in the Lord, I should say. He was in the Lord. He was a fellow what? He was a servant. What are you after you're born again? You're a servant. Don't ever forget, we're fellow servants. We're here in a church. We're all fellow servants. All of us should be servants. And do you know, beloved, we're going to give a reckoning for what we've done in our service. Not only will you give a reckoning for what you've done, but you also give a reckoning for why you've done it. The reason you do it. Your reason has to be right, too. I mean, why do you do what you do? We do what we do because we love Jesus. What I preach? I preach because I love the Lord. I love Him. I want to plead. And I want to, I wish you could see my heart. My whole desire, my entire life is to please Jesus. That's why I do it. I'm not trying to please people. I seek to please the Lord with my life. Do y'all want to do the same thing? That's what I want to do. I want to please Him. And someone, I've told you this too much, but someone that's really a servant that seeks to please the Lord not only serves Him in public, but serves Him the same way in secret. They're not different in secret than they are in public. See, someone's different in secret, they're a hypocrite. I want to be the same in secret as I am in public. I want to be the same in this pulpit as I am at my house. I don't want to be different. And there's too much of that in churches. It ain't nothing but hypocrisy. We want to be real. We want to be real. So this man was a beloved brother. Now look at these comments. Beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. Those are three great testimonies of somebody in the Scripture, don't you think? That's a great thing to be known as. Beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And that's true of us. We're fellow servants. And we're all supposed to be serving. We're all supposed to be serving. Verse 8, whom I have sent unto you, he sent Tychicus to them. He said, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Isn't that Paul? Where's he at again? Roman prison? Who's he concerned about? He's concerned about this church. Remember, he didn't start this church. But whose was his concern? All about areas in jail, in chains, and going to be eventually killed not long from here. But what was his concern? Their estate. He was wondering how they were doing. So he says that he shall make known unto you all the things which are whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know how your estate and comfort your hearts. He's worried about their comfort. He wanted to comfort their hearts. That's one of the reasons why he wrote the letter. Let them know how he was doing. Let them know what the Lord was doing there in Rome. His thought process was towards these people. People can be too self-centered in the Lord's work too, don't you think? They can be way too self-centered. That's a dangerous thing to be. We need to focus our attention more on other people than on ourselves. You got to focus more on other people than on yourselves. And that's why Paul, don't you think he would have liked to have kept Tychicus there with him? But he sent him on to Colossians. He figured the Colossian church needed him. And where's he at? In prison in Rome. Who did he think more of? Others. Used to be a song, others. Lord, yes, others. His concern was more towards other people than himself. And that's how we should be. That's how we all should be. All right. Now look at verse 9. This is an interesting. We've done seen several men that he's mentioned. When he closes his epistle, he mentions certain men at the end of it. And we've looked at Tychicus. We mentioned him. He was a faithful minister and a brother in the Lord. And now let's go ahead and look at some more. It mentions Onesimus. It mentions Onesimus. And it says he's a faithful and beloved what? He's a faithful and a beloved brother. A faithful? What was he again? He's a faithful and beloved, which is a dearly loved brother. Now what I want you to do is turn to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. It's just a little one-page book. It's good, y'all, but it's a dandy. It's a good book. Book of Philemon. Now, see verse in Colossians 3:9, the word Onesimus. The word Onesimus. That's the name of a person. Okay? I want to show you who he is. I want to show you who Onesimus is. Okay? You see the book of Philemon? Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He was a slave. And he had run away from home. That's what he done. He was a slave and he ran away from home, from his master, which was Philemon. And you know where he ended up? Do you know where he ended up? He ended up in Rome. Who was in Rome? Paul. Paul was in Rome. You know what happened? He ran into Paul. Where was Paul at? In Rome. In where? In prison. And for a while, you know, Paul was chained to a Roman guard and they give him liberty. He was given liberty to receive people and preach. Maybe one of them was this particular man. Isn't that unbelievable? Think of it. He was a Colossae, went all the way to Rome, and ran into who again? Paul. Boy, that was lucky, wasn't it? No, that's a divine appointment. What else could it be? He's about 800 or 900 miles from where he was at before. Goes to Rome, and the Lord saves his soul. All God's people see it. That's a glorious thing. So he says here in Philemon, verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech ye for such a one as Paul the aged, and now I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Listen to this now. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. He calls him his what? Is he really his son? No, but he was saved under his ministry. That's the idea of it. He was begotten in his bonds. The Holy Spirit put him into contact with Paul, an escaped slave. Look at the sovereignty behind all of that. God put them together. God's in charge of salvation. And he put this man right where he needed to be. All right. Now notice what it says. See verse 10 where it says, he's begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That's why he ran away. He's an unprofitable slave to Philemon. But now it's profitable to thee and me. Now, what did Paul do? You know what he did? He's in Rome with Paul. You know what he does? He sends him back to his owner. That's what he does. He sends him back to his owner. Now watch this now. Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now he's profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him in my own bowels. That's like saying your heart. Whom I have retained with me in thy stead, that he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He could have used him, Rick. But he belonged to who? Philemon. He wouldn't use him without his consent. All God's people say it. Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as if it were necessity, but willingly. He wanted him to send him back willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you should receive him for how long? Ever. Because the Lord saved him, he had eternal life. And he said, now you're going to be with him for how long? Forever. Verse 16, but not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. A what? What's he call him? A brother. Beloved, especially to me. And how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, I got to go on down here because I got to read this one text that I love in this part. Verse 17, if thou count therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owes thee... watch this now. If you want to underline something in a text, underline verse 18. It's a good picture. Are you ready for it? If he has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. That'll preach. If he owes you anything, you put it on my account. Did anybody else do that? Who did it? Jesus did that for us. We owed. We had an account we couldn't pay. And that's what Jesus did. He said, you put Jeff Arthur's sins on my account. And who paid for them? Jesus did. So that's a beautiful text. Let me get out of Fleming before I'm going to run down through the whole thing. Let's go ahead and go back to our text in Colossians. That's who Onesimus is. That's that escaped slave that we read about in the book of Philemon. And now he's saved. He's in serving the Lord now. Someone gets saved, you expect them to serve the Lord. That's what I watch in people. I get saved. I mean, I get tickled when people make professions, but I get more tickled when I see them serving the Lord after they make their profession. That's what I want to see. I want to see people change. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and look at verse 10. It says, Artichus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. So here's he's got a fellow what? Yeah. So evidently Artichus is a saved man. So Paul put somebody there with him too. I think that's interesting for you to note. So Paul had a fellow what? Prisoner. This man was a saved man too, I believe. So God made, he had somebody there with Paul. That would have been very encouraging for him, wouldn't it? Imagine being in one of them Roman prisons, chained and all these kinds of things. And it was a glorious thing to have a brother there with you. See, he was a fellow prisoner. He said, he salutes you. He saluted the church of the Colossians. Now notice Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commands, if he come, receive him. Y'all remember Marcus? How many members Marcus? Raise your right hand. That's John Mark. That's who it is. He went out on the first missionary journey. Remember? Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. Y'all remember what happened? He quit. And come back. He went to the mission field and then he quit and he come back. That's what it is, what John Mark did. So when Barnabas and Paul went to go on the second missionary journey, guess what happened? They split. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Remember, it says here he's sister's son to Barnabas. That means that John Mark was related to Barnabas. And so He wanted to give him another chance. Guess who didn't want to give him another chance? Paul didn't. Paul said he didn't think it'd be wise to take him again since he come back the first time. Barnabas, then they split. Barnabas took John Mark, and instead of having just one set of missionaries, you had two. Then it worked out pretty good. but Paul didn't want to take him. In another text, he says, talking about John Mark, he said he's profitable for the ministry. So he changed his mind about him too. He had changed his mind about him too. So that's who Marcus is. You know who Barnabas is. Now let's look at verse 11. Verse 11. I might try to run for the finish right here. I might be able to do it. It says, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision." Now, when they say they are of the circumcision, what does that mean they are? Jews. They are of the circumcision. They were Jews. Our Lord was saving Jews too. And still saving Jews too. He's still saving Jews too. These are my fellow workers. Fellow what? Workers. In a church, you need fellow workers. You need people to work. This past week for Vacation Bible School, it's like I've told you before, we're never as one as we are in Bible school. Everybody jumps in and does. You want all hands on deck. Everybody comes in and jumps in and people do there's people around doing everything. So, that's a glorious thing to see in people. So, fellow laborers, fellow workers, fellow what? Workers. Do you ever stop working when you're saved?
No.
No, he don't retire you either. Where do we work it? They sing that old hymn up in the mountains, "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes." We should. We must. We must. Okay. These are fellow workers into the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort. Been a what? You know, people that's a comfort to you is always going to be special people to you. People that's been a comfort. You ought to try to be a comfort to somebody. You ought to try to be a comfort to somebody. Sometimes people need a little bit of comfort. We used to have card senders here. People would send people cards. That's just what they did. I didn't tell them to do it. They just sent people cards when they noticed they wasn't here, or they went through a death, or they went going through a hard time. People would send them cards. That's a glorious thing to have. And people need to be comforted. People need to be comforted. We need an old church full of people to teach to comfort one another. And sometimes a card will do it. Sometimes a card will do it. All right. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Here you have the word servant again. Keep saying servant. You notice it? Keep saying servant. Now, how did he serve the Lord? I want everybody to look at verse 12, and I want you to tell me how he served the Lord. What's it say?
Prayer.
Yeah, he labored fervently. Now, fervent means hot. I mean, he was a man that prayed. And that's what he did. Laboring fervently for you in prayers. Is prayer a labor? Yes, yeah, considered one. And you can serve the Lord that way. You can serve the Lord that way. Get you a prayer list back there in the back and pray over it. See what happens. The Lord blesses tremendously. We had a great Bible school. I'm going to tell you this one more time. We had a great Bible school this year. It was very good. It was just a great, great, had great numbers. It was just a great Bible school. I came down every day early. I went in every class and prayed in that class. Just like that guy did on Facing the Giants, when he'd go down and touch every locker and pray for those children. I think it makes a difference. You make all these big plans to do things, but if you don't have the Lord's unction in that thing and the Lord's help in that thing, it ain't going to accomplish nothing. You don't want to run out ahead of the Lord. He can do some pretty great things if you get him involved, and you can through the means of prayer. I encourage you to do that. Okay? So he's labored fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Perfect and what? Complete. We're complete in Christ, ain't we? All right, I'm going to run for the finish line. I'm going to get done with this tonight, because the rest of this is just pretty much the closing greetings. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. Oh, my. This is a sad verse. Look at verse 14. Tell me why it's a sad verse. Luke, 14. Luke, the beloved physician. He was, of course, a physician. That's not the sad verse. What's the sad verse? Demas. How many of you heard of Demas? Raise your right hand. You can read about him in 2 Timothy 4:10 to 11. You know what it said? This is Paul's last epistle he wrote. Demas, here's what it says. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How would you like to have your name? Do you know anybody that names their children Demas? No. This he was serving at one time. He was active at one time. But here he had forsaken the Lord. And you can almost feel the heartbreak. Demas, in the book of 2 Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4:10-11. So here Demas is still around. He's still around. But he's eventually going to do what? He's going to turn his back on the Lord. He's going to turn his back on the things of the Lord. There's a Demas in every church. There's Demases anywhere you go. They'll jump in, and as fast as they jump in, guess what they do? They jump out, just like the parable of the sower. It's the Demases that breaks preachers' hearts. It's the Demas that breaks preachers' heart that does. You put all that work into them, and then they go back to being just like they was before. All right, let's go 15 through 18 and close this thing out. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church that is where, in verse 15. Church that is where? It's in his house. It's in his house. They had house churches. When you're starting a church, it's a good deal to do that. You don't run out and build a building first. You get the congregation first. You get a congregation or people that are wanting to start a church first. That's the best way to do it, I think. That's what the churches in the New Testament did. They a lot of times started in houses and they'd meet in houses. I've preached in houses before. Where they start in churches. I'd go there and preach in their house. And then sometimes what happens, it starts growing and then they build a building. They build a building. But they would meet in the house. Do you think how much money that indeed would save? Meet together in the house, carry out the commission, start churches. That's what they did. So the church was in the what? In the house. Verse 16, and when the epistle was read among you, what would they do to this epistle? They read it. I guess someone would stand up before the congregation and they would read the whole... Of course, this was a letter. Colossians was a letter. They would read the letter to the congregation. That's what they did. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read to the church of the Laodiceans too. Remember the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelations. It drifted bad. It's always dangerous. It's always a danger in church drifting. Drifting away from the truth. It's always a danger that, and the Laodicean church did that. It says that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. I don't believe we have that epistle. Verse 17, he said to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received the Lord, that you fulfill it. I don't know if Archippus was getting out where he wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing or what, or he's taking, or he wasn't faithful, or I don't know what it was. He said, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received of the Lord. Seems to me like he's giving him a charge. Take heed to it. Because when the Lord calls you to preach, that's the main thing, isn't it? When you're a servant, that's the main thing. That's what he does. Verse 18, we'll close out the book of Colossians. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my what? Remember my bonds. And then he closes. The characteristic of Paul's letters, except for one, I think it's Hebrews. He opens with grace in chapter 1, and then when he's done, he closes with grace. Opens with grace, closes with grace. I think Hebrews is the only exception. Well, did you enjoy the book of Colossians? I hope you did.